Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. And today is Monday, October the 3rd, and it's the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 32, top of the page, first paragraph, though there is no way of proving it, ending with, "Here is one." We'll be unpacking that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Mary P., the 12 Traditions, Monica K., readers of the text, Mary B., Reggie O., and Justin B. The share ID for Sunday, yesterday's Sunday special edition, October the 2nd, is 19,474. That's 19474. And for this morning, Monday, October the 3rd, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 19,475. That's 19475. Our newcomer greeter is Lorraine N. So if you're a newcomer, stay on the line at 10 minutes till the hour. And announcements person is Betsy H. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting or accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Mary P. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you very much for your service. This is Mary P. in Austin, Texas, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I will pass.
Thank you, Mary P., and I will now ask Monica K. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Monica.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. My name is Monica Kay from California. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to a compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought to never endorse, finance, or lead the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service center may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought to never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought to never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of this tradition, ever remaining as to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
And thank you, Monica K., for doing the 12 traditions. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 again to mute your phone, remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 32, and we're reading the first paragraph at the top of the page, though there is no way of proving it, and ending with, here is one way. And we're doing that one, we're unpacking that one paragraph only. And I will now ask Mary B. to get us started. Good morning, Mary.
Thanks, Mo, for your service. Good morning, my fellows. This is Mary B., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Phoenix, Arizona. Though there's no way of proving it, we believe that early in our drinking careers, most of us could have stopped drinking. But the difficulty is that few alcoholics have enough desire to stop while there's yet time. We have heard of a few instances where people who show definite signs of alcoholism were able to stop for a long period because of an overpowering desire to do so. Here's one. Well, in my experience has been, I don't ever remember in my overeating career of even wanting to stop. You know what I mean? As he's referring to here, I could be wrong. I've tried to stop many, many, many times. But as far as wanting to stop, no, no. I really liked, be it negative or positive, the effect that taking that binge produced for me. Because, see, I didn't want to face life. I didn't want to face reality, the reality that I couldn't control the food. I didn't want to take responsibility. I didn't want to act like a grown-up. All I wanted to do was compulsively overeat. But God, thank God, has put a stop to that. And then he says, but the difficulty is that few alcoholics have enough desire to stop. Well, there, see, that's what I'm saying. I really didn't have a desire to stop, even though it was doing so much destruction to my body, to my life, to my relationships, to my finances. Oh, my God, to my finances. Yeah, I know what it's like. I know what this disease, what it can do to a person's life, what it's done to my life, and countless others that I have sponsored over the years. It's beyond anything I can know or imagine. It's just horrific, the power. But see, here's the catch. My higher power is more powerful than my disease. And that's how I can enjoy my life today, day after day, free from the bondage of the illness, free from binging, free from throwing up, restricting, lying about what I'm doing with food. Those things are not in my life anymore, and I'm so grateful. And it's just really interesting how this thing really and truly works. If we really and truly work it. I think that's all I have. Thank you for allowing me to share, and I pass.
And thank you, Mary B., for getting us started. And I'm going to now open the lines for those who would like to share. And I just want to remind you, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared on any meeting in the last 3 days of sharing, I can take your name. So let me hear.
Jamie,
what page,
in California.
What
Jamie,
page are we on?
I heard Jane. I didn't get your last initial.
Jamie.
And I heard someone
Jamie
from California.
Thank you.
Jamie?
Margo?
Yes, please.
Deborah G.
Who was from California?
Alexis F.
Jamie M, California.
Oh,
Jamie,
you're from California.
California.
Okay.
Rita K.
Okay, I got Jamie M. I got Margo. Who else?
Alexis F from New Jersey.
Alexis F. Who else?
Deb E.
Deborah G.
Rita
Q.
Deborah G.
Who's after Deb?
Virginia.
Rita Q. Lisa, I'm hearing a Lisa. Am I hearing a Lisa?
No, Rita.
Rita.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha, Rita. Okay, and I can take one more.
Jordan L.
Jordan. All right, let's go with that group.
Jasmine.
Hello?
Yeah.
Jasmine.
Can you tell me what page we're on?
There. Yes, we're on page 30. Let me get my notes up now here. Hang on. Page 32 in the big book, of course, for the first paragraph. And it starts with, though there is no way of proving it, it ends with here is one. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, everybody mute except Jamie. Jamie M.
Thanks. Yep, thank you. Thanks, everybody, for this service. I'm Jamie. Impulsive eater and recovered in Southern California for good now. I can relate to the person sharing and that reading. In the beginning, I just, thought, food was my master. Food was God. Every time I eat, I get this sensation back in my day, like, wow, I have arrived. I was high off food. I never understood that until I got into programs. And at the beginning, I just thought, it's a cheat day. I treated the disease like a diet way long ago. And as I got older and older, it progressed and it progressed. And then when I was introduced to my first live newcomer meeting, it was never the same. It was like I had a head full of programs and a belly full of food. I relapsed and I didn't understand. And what I know is that it became so unbearable some days that I would be stuck in a bed laying there and hoping, this is how sick it became, that I could get more room for the food. And then I would wake up every day with a hangover of sugar, and I'd say, oh, today's the day I have the desire to stop. And I just couldn't, until finally I hit my rock bottom, my last bottom. And it changed my entire world. I had the physical for 1 year, never binged, I had a one-legged stool, and that rock bottom saved me. I started seeing the light again. My stool started growing with three legs. I understood what this program was doing. And as my journey has gone, I realized that I am hopeful, I am willing, and I take the action every day, just like brushing my teeth. I don't know anything else in my life anymore. I mean, this is my way of life. This is who I am. I make my calls. I talk to people. I don't want to know any other way of life. I gave up everything for one thing. I don't want to give up everything I've realized on this journey for that one thing. It's not worth it. So I will be grateful to this meeting and that it's a change for me now since I'm back in the time zone I was a year ago. And I enjoy hearing other people, and thank you for letting me share.
And thank you, Jamie M. from California. Margot B. is up next, followed by Alexis F. Good morning, Margot.
Hi, Margot here, compulsive overeater, grateful to be able to claim my fee. Thank you, everybody, for the service and the comments. And I just am moved by the reading as, once again, that I never wanted to stop. I could always stop, restrict, and repeat the cycle, right? Stop, restrict, repeat. But I never really had a desire to stop compulsively overeating. I just wanted to do what I wanted to do without any consequence. I just crawled into these rooms because I was going crazy because of it. Of course, never making the connection. And I guess just for today, I just wanted to put it out there that I'm grieving, and there's a lot of grief coming up. There's an anniversary of a passing, among other things. And I just want to say that no amount of food will change what has happened, no matter how much I pass out, because I do come from bags and boxes and being passed out with hangovers. And none of that can be changed. The grief that I'm feeling, the sadness that I'm feeling with any amount of food, nor will it change anything. So I just needed to say that and put it out there. And I always have to, I do these tools so that I can get back to God, right? And I just got to stay on the beam. So thanks for letting me share.
And thank you, Margot B. Alexis F., followed by Dev E. Good morning, Alexis.
Alexis F. in New Jersey. Yes, I think God is very fair. And abstinence is defined as three moderate meals a day with nothing in between but black coffee or tea. Working toward a healthy weight. That's all I take it as. I don't take it as this big absolute, and I don't compare myself to anybody else in the program that I'm right and they're wrong. Like people that weigh and measure, I believe that's for the newcomer. You know, the newcomer has to know the certain specific specifications of overeating and not overeating. Once you gain that knowledge, I think you can pretty much be a moderate eater. I don't think that God is real hard on people who just don't eat their alcoholic foods. I haven't had my alcoholic foods in years. Well, the one 7.5 years, one couple years, and the other one maybe 2 or 3 years. And I'm very, I feel much better. I'm working on myself emotionally. And they say if you get two legs of the stool, you get the other leg. And I'm working on myself with my sponsor spiritually and admitting my faults every day and my difficulties in sharing my feelings, which is more than I ever did before. So I have to look at my progress that I made and not what anybody else has made. Thank you.
Thank you, Alexis F. Dev E, followed by Rita Q. Good morning, Dev.
Hi, thanks so much. This is Dev E, recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. And this is paragraph really making me think this morning. And I had moments where I could stop when I was just a teenager or before, I was 12 or 13 and I stopped eating sugar for a year or more. I don't even remember exactly now. I'd have to look back in my journals. And then a little later in my teen years, I stopped again. But it was never, I could never keep it up. You know, I could never do it for a long time. And I've always thought there is a difference in my opinion of what age we start this process at. And I feel like I found OA at 26 and I'm really grateful for that. And I remember feeling at the time, you know, I was friendly with some fellows in program who were 20 and 21 at the time. I was if only I could have saved myself these 5-6 years. Because those were the worst years. Those were the years that led me to rock bottom. But I have such an appreciation for it now of what it would mean to come in, 22 years later with all of life's challenges that happened in between and just how much there is to deal with only, doing a fourth step on 26 years as opposed to 48 years or 50 years or 70 years. And I love that it's open. It's never too late. I don't mean that as a discouraging thing. It's never too late, but I do recognize how I think in my recovery, I've noticed differences with where I think that if I would have come in later, I would have just had so many more challenges based on how my life's gone. You know, for me personally, I'm really grateful that I got this gift fairly early on. And that, I was shown time again that it wasn't, just trying to stop the food never worked. It never worked. It worked for a very short time and then that was it. It was only when I started developing the spiritual practice and really surrendering to a higher power that it was able to work long-term. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Dev E. Next up, we have Rita Q, followed by Jordan L. Good morning, Rita.
Good morning. Good afternoon, wherever you are. Thank you so much. My name is Rita Q. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Manchester in the UK. This is one of the paragraphs in the big book where I had to stop when I read it with my sponsors. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. That was never the case for me. Never. I couldn't have stopped if you had have tied my hands together and locked me in an empty room. I would have eaten my foot. You know, and then I thought, actually, I suppose the answer's right. I just didn't have the desire. I have been a compulsive overeater since I was born because every memory, I can relate all my memories back to food, every single thing. You know, birthday parties when I was a really young age and, just the whole way through my life. And until now, obviously now it's laughter and fun and adventure and things that we did, that thank God. But, one thing I would say is when I had a relapse, so I've been recovered 3.5 years and my relapse lasted quite a long time. It was a good few years and I was in and out and I had the desire. I basically wanted the program by osmosis. I wanted to kind of get recovery, but kind of eat as well. You know, I think a lot of us have been there. And I remember just the desire to eat, it was so progressive. It was not like, when I was younger, I just liked the food and I was really sporty and, you know, it was okay. But as I got older, I remember feeling in my relapse, my big relapse, like a lunatic. I just felt completely, it was overpowering me. And I remember thinking now in my recovery, my recovery has got to be twice as strong as my disease, because I know how powerful that is. It's almost like it was breathing in my ear. It was frightening. Thank God that's not what it's like now. You know, today I'm happy, joyous and free, thank God. Most days, some days I can be right misery, but that's okay. I can be really grumpy, but that's for different reasons. So, you know, I'm just really glad to be free, but I still remember. And I remember hearing one, sometimes it's good to remember that, because this disease is kind of baffling and powerful. I couldn't have stopped, because like I said, I had no desire. And during my relapse, I had no desire. It took a massive spiritual awakening. And too long to go into now, but I had a huge spiritual awakening from God, and that's what got me well. That's what got me back into the rooms. Because, you know, lack of power, that was my dilemma. There was no way I could have done any of it. So I'm just really grateful, and it's just lovely to be able to come in. I was out all morning and came in and I thought, right, I'll jump in the meeting at 3 and I just love this. This is just wonderful. So thanks to everybody for doing service and everybody who's here today. And with that, I'll pass.
And thank you, Rhea Q from the UK. Next up is Jordan L, followed by Jasmine, and then we'll take another lineup after that. Good morning, Jordan.
Hey, good morning, Mo. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting this morning. I just wanted to bring us back to the paragraph before real quick. Because it mentions being honest, and it talks about having a full knowledge of your condition and that being really important. And I have found that as well. Not that that's my solution or my answer, but it is really important for me to understand exactly what it is that I'm dealing with here. And it is really important for me to, like, be able to be honest about it without trying to, like, manipulate the consequences of that honesty, you know? I think that when I first came into Overeaters Anonymous, what I really had was a desire to be able to eat what I wanted to eat without anyone... without anyone giving me advice on that and without experiencing the consequences of what happens when I ingest my alcoholic foods. Like I wanted my alcoholic foods to not be alcoholic. and that's all good. I'm like, I look back on that now and I'm grateful that, I'm grateful for those years now because they gave me a full knowledge of my condition, right? But what I see over the course of those 5 years is like, as I developed that honesty around alcoholic foods, what happened throughout that was that when I start to see really get some clarity around what it is that those foods do to me, I really do have, like, I developed this honest desire, like an honest desire to stop. What I experienced in those years was not being able to, like, it didn't matter, how honest it was or how much I desired it, I wasn't able to stop. And I think that, like, that's addiction, you know? It's not coming in here and saying, like, oh, I have to do this or I have to do that or I have to stop. It's, like, really wanting to and not being able to. So thanks for letting me share. That's all I have.
Yeah, thank you, Jordan. And before I take Jasmine, let me remind everybody where we are who have come on the line a little bit later. We're on page 32, the top of the page, the first paragraph, though there is no way of proving it, and ending with, here is one. And we're just unpacking that one paragraph only. After Jasmine, I'll take another lineup of names. Good morning, Jasmine.
Good morning. This is Jasmine S. from Virginia. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Thank you. Compulsive overeater, gratefully recovering. When I read that paragraph at the beginning of, you know, we could have stopped if we wanted to, that not only speaks to, early on, I guess, that not only speaks to our powerlessness over this, but also the fact that this is such a progressive disease, because it makes me think about my teen years and when I was, you know, able to just quit eating sugar or doing some, you know, eating something that I wasn't supposed to eat or doing those bad diets and things like that. Like, it didn't feel as intense and hard for me to not do as much as it progressed into as an adult, into my adulthood. And it feels like without, or I'm reminded when I read it, that without that spiritual experience and awakening, it's not that, it's like the previous person, I believe it was Jordan, who shared, it's not about whether we desire it or not. It speaks to the fact that an addiction, it's the addiction. Like, regardless of what we want, it's an addiction for a reason. We need something higher than us. And that's just, reading that really resonated and you know, drove those facts in more for me. So that it's, you know, not only we're powerless, it is progressive. And without a spiritual intervention of some sort, it's going to just get worse. And I've seen that in my own life, and I feel it, and I can relate to that. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Jasmine S. S. from Virginia, I think you said. Okay. So although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you haven't shared in the last 3 days on any of our meetings, the lines are open. I'll take your names.
Noelle E.
Yeah, I heard a Laura. Was it a Laura?
Laurie.
Okay, Laura N. Who else? Yep.
Deborah G.
Okay, so I have Noelle E. Laura.
Janet, Nevada.
Janet?
Yes. Nevada, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Gotcha, Janet.
Thank you.
Becca R. Yeah.
Maybe just one more. All right. That might be enough. That might take us out. So let's start with Noelle E, followed by, I think it's Laura. I put Lori N. Laura or Lori. So Noelle, you're first.
Thank you, Mo, for your service. Hello, everybody. This is Noelle E. Gratefully recovered here on the line today from Louisiana. This paragraph is so good. For many reasons, because it, to me, it's hopeful. It's like why we do step 12, because we believe that early in our drinking careers, most of us could have stopped. Like, that's why you get to do service, is because you might be catching someone, you know, right at the beginning and keeping them from, you know, years of torment. But also for me, it confirms that I'm like, I don't need to know why. You know, I don't need to know why I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm a compulsive overeater because I'm a compulsive overeater. And those years that, you know, maybe I could have stopped, they are the evidence that keeps me talking on this line, coming back, opening this book every day. But that's because my higher power knows how I learn. I need that evidence. I think someone was sharing that they were grateful. They you know, found this program so early. I kind of have an interesting relationship with being like when I found program, because I'm told by fellows often that I found it early. You know, I'm in my 30s, my mid, late 30s, excuse me. I've got young kids. I'm told by a lot of, you know, fellows who are in a different season of life that, you know, this is such a busy time and so young, your family's so young, good for you for prioritizing this. And then, you know, I've already got three kids. There's a lot of times where I'm like, wow, the people who found this in their 20s, I just admire them so much. But the truth is God brings us to it when we are supposed to be here. And I'm grateful to be here now. I'm grateful for all of you on the line. So I thank you so much. Everybody have a beautiful, abstinent day. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Noelia. Now up next is Lori N, followed by Deborah G. Lori N, good morning.
Hi, good morning. This is Lori N from Massachusetts. So what I'm taking from this paragraph is just kind of the insidiousness of a food addiction specifically. You know, my eating career started, I was the first time I tasted food, you know, and I never really had a chance, I don't think, to stop. You know, I didn't have beer till I was 15 or 16, and then I had to sneak it, and I had to hide it, and it was illegal. But I was freely given my drug of choice at every birthday party, every holiday, after every baseball game and soccer game. It was everywhere, and it was fully sanctioned by society. It was encouraged. And I just really took to it and kind of went off to the races. And I didn't realize till I was 40 years old that I had this disease. I had never heard of it before. And so I just could never figure out what exactly was wrong with me. But I finally did, thank God. And I've been able to do something about it once I had that knowledge. You know, and that something was admitting my powerlessness, turning my life completely over to a higher power, and working the 12 steps. And I have, you know, I'm in recovery from my food addiction, but I just, this paragraph just makes me realize that just sort of this, the sort of hidden dangerousness, I guess, of a food addiction, that it really is everywhere. And it's something that's encouraged and we're allowed to do it. You know, I don't go to jail because I sit and eat a sheet cake in my car by myself. You know, and so it really is something that takes a lot of awareness and takes a lot of work to keep at bay, I think. That's all I had. Thank you for letting me share. With that, I pass.
And thank you, Lori N. Up next is Deborah G, followed by Janet G. Good morning, Deborah.
Oh, good morning, Mo. Good morning. Good to hear your voice. And thank you so much for your service today and everyone for their service today. And wow, welcome to all the newcomers. I am so glad that you're here so you don't have to live like you've lived in the past and now. And thank you, everyone, that 12 step me today with their shares. The shares have been wonderful and took me back and woke me up and reminded me. And oh, thank you. I love this meeting. And I was taken back to, I learned at an early age that food was the thing for ease and comfort. You know, I love the, that was another thing, the taste, not just the ease and comfort, but I love the taste of those foods. I loved them. I looked forward to them. And for many, many years, and even when later in recovery, when I finally saw a glimpse that, you know, there's a problem here and going to meetings, you know, I thought just going to meetings and doing the read, it was just not helping because I was still in the food. I'd still relapse and still relapse. And for so many years, I tried different OA programs. You know, I'd try all these things thinking that was going to do it. And it wasn't until, excuse me, coming to Visions And I was in a workshop that was for a whole year doing the steps. And then I also was awakened to what my alcoholic foods were, but I wouldn't surrender the last one. Why? Because I was getting an effect and I liked the taste. How could I ever live without that? I had a fork in one hand and that substance in another. And I woke up and saw I wasn't even tasting my food. I was putting that substance on the food and tasting that. It got to that point where that was important, not even the food. And that's when I said, oh my God, I can't do this. And it was an experience that took me from my head down into my heart, down into my soul. I don't want to live like this anymore. And I got myself a Noe Vision sponsor. And I had her take me through the steps. I'll be so grateful always to her, quickly, so I could get neutrality and get the freedom from those beautiful 12 steps. And I'm so grateful for all of you and that continue to help me and support me. What a beautiful, beautiful life. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Deborah G. Next up, we have Janet G, followed by Becca R. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning. I'm Janet, compulsive overeater. I started my addiction when I was 5 or 6 years old, and I did it for the comfort, for the effect. And it progressed to the point where I hated food. I hated it. I felt like a slave to it. I didn't want to eat it anymore, but I couldn't not eat it. And I felt trapped. I felt hopeless. And it wasn't until I could give up my will over it that I have found any kind of recovery. Step one, I knew my life was unmanageable. And step two, a power greater than myself. And step three, letting him do it was so hard, letting him do it. But once I did, and I kind of got to the point where I lost the will to live, but that was a blessing because then I was open to let his will in. And now with the steps and with all of you, I am experiencing recovery, and I don't feel like a slave anymore. I'm starting to feel free. But I know this addiction, I've had 65 years of this addiction. It's not a little thing, you know. But God is all powerful. He can handle anything that I need him to do in my life. So I'm happy. I don't need the effect that food gives me anymore. I try to do the best I can every day, and that's good enough. Sometimes my food is better than other days, but as long as I know that was the best I could do, that's okay with me. It's progress,
fine.
Not perfection. Okay, thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful day. This is a great program, and love you all. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Janet G. And I think you'll be our last share will be Becca R. Good morning, Becca.
Hey, good morning. Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater, calling in from Kentucky. Man, such great shares on the line this morning and such a great reminder to come all the way in and sit all the way down because I cannot do it on my own willpower. And that's what I was thinking is I had the desire. I can't tell you how many times I wrote in my journal, day one again. Here we are at day one. Oh, guess what? It's day one again. You know, the desire was there. But the book says the needed power wasn't. I would get in these moments of desperation and call out to this God, but it wasn't until I just completely surrendered and said to a sponsor, like, I will do anything. You know, I surrender everything I think I know because as much as I wanted to turn my life and my will over to God, I still wasn't going to take pieces of the program. Like I'll do the steps, but not the food plan. That's too restrictive. That's too intense. That's too rigid. You know, I had all these excuses, but when I came all the way in, sat all the way down, and I was willing to take instruction from someone who had what I wanted. And she said, just do this while we work the steps. And like previous chairs have said, and now I do it every day. It's like brushing my teeth. It is such a part of my life, part of my daily routine, embedded in and throughout my day of connection, of renewal, of touchstones, these little practices that if you put them all together, probably consume just a fraction of my time. But somehow this little piece of time that I'm able to give to program each day, it affords me this awakened, open, beautiful life that I'm able to experience 24 hours at a time. So grateful to be here. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Well, thank you. And we have time for a one-minute share if anybody has a burning desire. If not, we'll close
early. Nirvana A.
Oh, good morning, Nirvana. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thanks for all your service. This is Nirvana A from California, recovering one day at a time. And I just wanted to thank everyone for their shares. And honestly, for me, it was also surrender. And I remember a sponsor told me, every day is a brand new clean slate. And then ask your higher power, what would you want me to draw on this slate? And take it from there. And all of us were so different. What might work for someone may not work for another one. But the one part I think we all have in common is our higher power, asking guidance. Okay, like, what do you want me to do now? What is the best thing? And being in touch with yourself as well, your higher power within you as well, and asking. And with that, I'll pass. And it's so good to hear your voice, Mo. Thank you very much.
Perfect.
With that, I'll pass.
Yeah, perfect timing. And thank you all. Great meeting, all everyone that shared. And we'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will ask, I believe, Reggie O. Yes, it's you.
Thank you, Mo. Thanks so much for your service and everybody this morning who is on the line doing service and sharing. My name is Reggie O. I'm gratefully recovered and living in Texas. And here is a vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right. And great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.